Your back's funny. We should pray for your back, shouldn't we? And we've got another back person there. Let's do that. Let's lay hands on the back. Caroline, why don't you go over there and we'll lay hands on these backs, and Owen and Lou, and just release. You know, you never know. God could be interested in doing a miracle. What do you think? Father, right now we just thank you. Let's just turn our faith towards these beautiful people here. Father, and we pray, we release the power of God and command healing to flow through these backs in Jesus' name. That's how we do it. Stay with me there, people. And let's engage our hearts in this. I don't know if you've ever had a bad back. You ever had a bad back? It's a horrible feeling. So let's really carry these guys in our hearts right now and release with authority. Father, in Jesus' name, let the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit flow through these bodies, through these spines. Father, touch them in Jesus' name. Touch them in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, move upon their hearts and upon their lives right now. I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you for touching Glenn, Lord, right now. And I just can see God moving on your heart right now, Glenn. And the Holy Spirit just giving me this impression of a stirring up of things in your heart for this year. You're a person who could go through the motions, who could do the same things week in and week out. And sometimes that can seem a bit boring. And sometimes that can seem a bit like that's my lot in life. But I believe, if that makes sense to you, I believe the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on your life and saying, this year things are going to change. This year God wants you to stir yourself up and to draw nearer to him than you ever have before. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now let's believe God. Esther Troy, Father, we thank you for this woman, this servant of yours. We bless her in Jesus' name. Now, lady, are you a back person as well? Or are you praying for people? Or are you just standing there looking good? Just standing there looking good. It's all right. Come on, let's believe God, folks. Yeah. Right now, Father, release. We release. Go on, go ahead and release. And just start to move your back, Glenn. Right? Things that maybe were a little bit painful or awkward or tricky before. Same with you, Esther. We see a lot of miraculous things happen here in the house because God's just here. He's into it. He's in a good mood. Everyone say, God's in a good mood. He's in a good mood, and he moves with us as we move with him. So we release right now. Everyone say, we release healing, wholeness, blessing in Jesus' name. Tell me how you're feeling, Mr. Glenn. Is it feeling better? Really? Definitely? So before... And because you never want to, I know I'm a minister, but I prefer to be honest. Is that all right? There's a little joke there. Some of you picked it. But sometimes people will just say, oh, it's better because they think, you know, well, we better be nice to the minister. You know, we better say it's a bit better. If it's not any better, it's cool. God, you know, I'm not on trial here. God's good. So if we were, is it pain, awkwardness? Tell me. Sciatica? So is it come and go? Okay, and so now, just now as we've prayed for you, has it noticeably reduced in pain? Thanks to God, isn't that good? Anybody like... God's good. How are you doing, Miss Esther Troy? Yes? You can genuinely say that the pain is reduced? Yep, moving more. Isn't that awesome? Who else is there here that feels like, I would like God to touch me in my physical body? Good, stand up. Go ahead, shoot over there, Lucille. Anybody else would like to see some touch of God in their lives right now? Amy, Carrie, just come over here and minister to this fine young lady. And this is a little bit different, but this is all right. We're in the lounge room together enjoying the presence of God. We'll come and preach in a minute. But it'll be a lot easier for me to preach if a few people get healed, you see. Then people think, what the guy's talking about actually is there really is a God. Father, touch these people. Come on, minister to them. Right now, let's reach out our hands, reach out our heart. Lord God, we release, we release, we release. We release the healing virtue of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Through a body, in Jesus' name, touch a life. Let mark this year in her life, Father. Set it apart for greatness, Father God. Guide her steps, Lord God. There's issues of guidance. There's decision-making going on in your world. Is that right? And I can just see that. And I can see that if you'll invite God, if you'll invite the Holy Spirit, which is your heart anyway, but it's like a deliberate thing to invite Him to help you make decisions, then He's going to guide you in steps. And you've got a general idea, but you don't have specifics. And He can show you specifics. Thank you, Lord, right now. Can you feel the anointing? Can you feel that presence of God? Just on. I like that feeling, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, bless her and minister to her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Right now we release your presence and your blessing and your goodness. And praise God. Wonderful. Praise God. All right. All right. How are you feeling, Amy? Is there a particular thing that you could tell if it were any different? Okay, that's all right. No problem. What about you, Haley? Anything that you could tell right away if it were different? It's clearer? You sure? You sound surprised. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It is? Yeah? Okay. Shall we say no more virus?
No more.
No more virus in Jesus' name. Give us a report now. We want to hear, because I'm just an Australian guy, met Jesus, loved Jesus. He called me to do this, but you know, I'm not God, and I'm not really interested in performing tricks. I really believe that God is good, and that we're going to keep hearing good stories like Carrie told us this morning about how He touches people's lives, and so. That's awesome, isn't it? Let's turn our hands toward heaven. Thank you, Lord. And just take, I want you to take about between 30 and 60 seconds, which isn't long, and Ian to keep playing the way he's playing, and just to give thanks deliberately to God for something or some things that He's done in your life. Might be in 2016, might be in the last week, but to be deliberately thankful, to turn your eyes on the good things that God has done, and let your heart begin to praise Him. Maisel brought a really good word today about giving freely and giving from a glad heart. But I find in myself, because I know God wants me to live a generous life, sometimes you've got to get your little old heart sorted out, you know, and going in the right direction. Say, come on, heart, be glad. David used to do that. He said to his soul, why are you downcast? Why are you miserable? Why are you a little bit quiet today? Come on, soul, rejoice in God. Come on, let's do that, everybody. Just rejoice and give thanks. Give praise to God because He is good. God responds to thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise You and we love You today and we thank You for Your presence. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge Your presence. You're God on the earth. Father's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. And You're here demonstrating the kingdom, glorifying Jesus and touching and speaking to every person here. Father, let this gathering together and this little message, but this whole service, this whole time together, let it be marked by heaven in a unique way. Let not one of us leave here the same as we came in, and let every single time we gather be marked by Your presence, we ask in Jesus' name. If you think that's a good prayer, say, yes, Lord. Fantastic. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Ian. Appreciate that. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. You can grab your seats. Well, you have. You can get your Bibles. Grab a pen, piece of paper. If you're taking notes on electronic, I just want to encourage you to take notes, to write things down, to record things. Because I want you to hear from God. And part of your hearing from God will be going on in your own world during the week. We're going to address that a little bit today. But part of it, of course, is in this context. This is a corporate kind of anointing. The presence of God is here. You can feel that. You know, when people experience healing, and we want to see greater and greater measures of His healing. And greater measures. So people that are deaf, that their ears just pop open in Jesus' name and they're completely restored to the way they were before. People that come in with heaviness on their heart, heaviness on their mind, I remember the story of Robert Schuller. How many have heard of Robert Schuller? Some people really like him and some people don't like him. I like him. He's very positive. He's not the same person I am. But I can recognize that God's done something in his life and called him to do something. Not sure that I want to build a crystal cathedral, but that's all right. And I think we'll build something a bit more modern, shall we? Something a bit more minimalist, a bit of wood, a bit of slate, a bit of leather, that kind of thing. You with me? Those kind of vintage lights. Are you with me? Yeah, well, we can do it. But see, here's an interesting thing with Robert Schuller. He suffered greatly from depression for many years. You may not know that. And it makes sense then that when he broke through out of that the change in his life became his kind of life message. It became what he spoke most about, which is just positivity. And positivity is a very biblical concept, because hope is a positive thing. Hope, and God says he's the God of hope. I mean, that's what he's like. And hope sees the future positively all the time. Faith already has it now, but hope is persistently positive. And it's really helpful. We had a great time last week in the church with our Baptist friends there at 3 p.m. and we kind of introduced the year and talked about starting this year off. We weren't able to record in there. They don't have that recording facility. Thankfully, we have Ryan and Ethan and the crew of guys, so we get that all done and the podcasts go out. And they're important. They're to help you. But, you know, Robert Schuller, back to Robert Schuller, he lived with depression for many years and was a Christian and read the Bible, and those are good things. Reading the Bible is a good thing. But I am deeply persuaded that A, what we need, and B, what God is doing, a major part of what God is doing, is to bring us to a place where the things that are written about are experienced in our lives. Yes. And sometimes we've used the approach, especially kind of the word of faith rooted thinking, which I get, understand that, and it's been very helpful. But, you know, it's like we confess this and we believe what's in this. But a lot of Christians do that. There's got to be a tangibility of the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's just got to be something that breaks into people's worlds. And that breaks into people's worlds, and this is what's in my heart, that breaks into people's worlds, whether they've been in our church before or not, whether they even know Jesus or not. You know what I'm saying? There's a faith that we as believers should have to keep trusting God, and that's important. But there should also be a presence, an anointing of the Holy Spirit that reaches in and touches and helps people, even if their faith isn't that strong. Even if they have no faith at all. That's what Catherine Kuhlman's life was like. Catherine Kuhlman, you might have heard of, and I will come back to Robert Schuller, and then I'll get to my message, probably. But this is all part of the message, because there's a kind of a divine thing going on up there. You know, God's typing away like Bruce Almighty, you know. And my tiny little nipples have gone to France. I thought I'd throw that in just to kind of see if you're listening. You remember that? And I do the cha-cha like a sissy girl. Remember that? Yeah. Just read the prompter. The prompter's fine. The prompter's fine. Anyway, I'm back with you. I'm out of breath, but, you know, God orchestrates. And that's what church should be. You know, and that's what a minister should be. Paul says when he writes about ministry, and I'm going back to Catherine Kuhlman, and then I'm going back to Robert Schiller, and then I'm going back to the message. So, but, you know, Paul writes, when he talks about ministry, it's 2 Corinthians 3, if you wanted to read a stunning chapter of the Bible, one of my favorites, 2 Corinthians 3, not now, put it in your notes, where he talks about what we are as ministers, talking about himself and the whole kind of New Testament ministry, which is continuing today. It's what I do. We are not, he actually uses these words, we're not ministers of the letter, but of the Spirit. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pay any attention to the Bible. But what that means is that the key thing that we're looking for is life. So if somebody can read the same Bible and there's no flow, it's not alive, there's not a sense like, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me. Well, then it's that's You're either not doing the right job, you're not doing it the right way maybe, whatever that is. But, you know, I'm very conscious of the fact that what God does is always in line with Scripture, but that the Holy Spirit does some really weird things. You know, and I'll come back to Catherine Kuhlman. I'm just quickly reminded of Paul the Apostle. Do you remember him? I mean, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, he's out there traveling with the message, like we all are every day, aren't we, church? Yes. Bringing the message, the love of God, the goodness of God, go boldly speaking. Everyone say, boldly. Good. And boldly speaking, good things of God, telling people, loving people, stepping out of our comfort zones a little, you know, to reach into people's lives. And he was off doing that. And then in a particular season of his life, the Holy Spirit, you know, the guy writing the script here this morning, and I'm doing my best to interpret, I don't want to say I'm perfect because I'm not, but he's the author, he's the head of the church, you know. Jesus is the head of the church, but he's the guy on earth, if I can use that term, that is leading the church. And so he does this unusual thing with Paul, where there are people that are sick over in Sunbury or over in Amsterdam or over in Nice, and he can't get there because those were walking days, there weren't cars then. And so what he does is lays hands on a handkerchief and says, take the handkerchief and put that on the afflicted person. You can't find that in the Old Testament. That's not in the law. I mean, you can't read the Bible, read the Ten Commandments, you know, don't eat this, do this. Oh, and on occasion, put your hands on a handkerchief and that will work. It's just not there. The Holy Spirit does some unusual things. And it's important for us to find the really healthy middle ground with all that. Because there are some people in the Christian world, and because I've been around it for a little while, you know, there are some people that are so far out into the weird realm, you know, that it's really too weird. You know what I'm saying? But then if we're not careful, we can be so much into the rational, figure it all out letter that we don't have precedent for that. God does some unusual things. I know of a guy called Paul Kane. Some of you might have heard of him. He was a prophetic figure, a little controversial, but certainly God was with him. And unusual things would happen in his services. He would minister and prophesy, and there would be like electrical discharge at the back of the building that he was speaking in. And sometimes it blew up the whole sound system because it was like too much voltage. But then a lot of people got healed as well. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I'd be asking God, well, what's that about? You know, that cost us a lot of money just there. But see, everything, now I'm not saying that God goes around just deliberately breaking our, but there is just a world out there called the world of the Spirit, that where when you become a Christian, when you're born again, that becomes your home world. That's where you live. And you need the experience of that world in line with the Scriptures in order to go forward in God. And I really want you to go forward in God, and I've just got this hunch that he's into that as well. So I was going back to Catherine Kuhlman. See, she had some very unusual ways about her. She was very dramatic. I don't know if you've ever heard her. I think I told the story last week, didn't I? Of a little nun that came into a meeting, and she was crippled up like this. And now Catherine Kuhlman wouldn't lay hands on people generally, because there's big crowds, tens of thousands of people, and she would speak. And this was in the either 60s or 70s. Passed away in 76, went home. And this nun who had been crippled was in a wheelchair. Just one thing, her hands kind of loosened. And I was listening to a chap, I've met the chap who was in the meeting. One finger would pop out at once. And then the next one. And then the next one. You say, why? I don't know why. And then the next one. And then her hands went out like this. And then she got up and began to walk. She hadn't walked for I don't know how long, but she'd been crippled up like this. And before long, she was walking around, but he said she never put her hands down. She went up on the stage like this with all her hands. She's probably just... But what an unusual thing. And you know what he said when he remembered? See, the miracles like that are wonderful. But miracles are not difficult for God, really. You know, I mean, you know, look at your own hands. It's just miraculous. I posted something every now and then. I post, you know, try and encourage people, and I posted something on the Greater Life page that was, I think it's pinched or taken, it's a BBC little mini clip of 2 minutes about the San Marianas Trench. I love all that, and which Mount Everest would fit inside, and which, you know, after the, it's about 10K deep, 10 kilometres deep, and then after 1 kilometre, there's no more light. So 90% of it, 9 kilometres down, is all black. And so for most of the history of the world, we haven't seen anything. We've probably seen 1% or 2% of what's in there. And the species of fish and the weird stuff. And you imagine the pressure. Here's these delicate-looking little things with flashing lights, anglerfish that are just about as ugly as they get. And just fascinating. So I posted that, and I just think, God, you know, he's just outrageous. God, there's just no... You know, we box him in, but he could do anything. And they, what they used to say, I'm back on Catherine Kuhlman now, just going a little bit here and there. But, you know, they, what this guy said, he said, the miracles are wonderful, the amazing things are wonderful. But what he remembered the most was the presence of God in the meetings. We talked a little bit about the glory of God, and I was talking to Lawrence, and he was telling me afterwards, you know, about just feeling the presence of God. Sometimes you have people come in the building and they'll just cry for the first few weeks in the church. They just find themselves weeping. And because God touches people's hearts. And it's not like you have to cry to prove that you're being touched. Like you pray for people, you lay hands on people, you know, and sometimes they fall over and sometimes they don't. And we were in a zone back in the 80s when I was in Australia where people, there was a lot of that going on. You know, and people were professional fallers, you know. It's like it's a courtesy fall, you know. You want the guy to feel all right, yeah, we'll fall, you know. And it's, but in the midst of all that, which is what happens, God touches people. God really does touch people. And so Robert Shuler, the guy I started with before I get to my message that I'm doing rather well with today, and he was very depressed as a Christian. And there was an experience he had in his life. You may or may not know this, I don't know. But he was, I don't remember if he was in prayer or worship or what it was particularly, I don't remember that. But I know that he sensed or he saw a hand come out of heaven and go through his brain, like into his head, so in another, hooked onto something black and pulled it out. And he said, from then, everything changed. All the negativity left. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. Now, I think we make a mistake if we think every person that's depressed, it's that problem and we're going to fix it that way. That would be a bit like, you know, David working with, you know, glass and aluminium and working on the shard and saying, well, you know, this worked in the shard, let's do it in this building, we'll just do it all the same way. You can't. You have to, everything's a bit different. And God is... that to the nth degree. You know, we like a formula because it keeps us in our safe zone, but God's not really very formulaic. Sometimes he'll send an angel. Sometimes he'll guide you by your spirit. That's mostly what happens. And believe it or not, the topic for the day I'm talking about, breakthrough, I am, for 2017, and I want to touch on just a couple of points related to that, but we're all on that, we're in that zone. And, you know, but sometimes, most often, the Holy Spirit will guide you. But then there's Paul, and he is preaching. So he's not doing nothing. He's out there venturing, walking, bringing the message. And he thinks, I'll go over here to, you know, Yorkshire or wherever. It wasn't Yorkshire. It was like Galatia or somewhere. I don't know where it was. And Asia. I think he was going to Asia. And so he has a dream in the middle of the night. And an angel, he says the Holy Spirit forbade him from going, and so he didn't go. But then, instead of the Holy Spirit forbidding, then another time he sees a vision, and he sees a man from Macedonia, and the guy says, come over here, and he kind of concludes, well, maybe that, you know, it's not like, because none of us have got it all right, but it's just God uses different techniques. I remember the story of a gentleman, a minister, well-respected minister, who went to be to heaven somewhere around the turn of the century, so not a little long ago. And he had experiences like that, and he had a very long life. I think his ministry was over 60 years. He was very well-respected. And, if I named him, you'd probably know him, but it doesn't really matter because people get all hung up on names. And he had this experience where Jesus was talking to him about certain things and explaining certain things to him. He was, because that was his kind of gifting. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, I don't think she had those kind of experiences, but people would get up out of wheelchairs in her meetings. So different gifts are different, you see. And Smith Wigglesworth, now he was an unusual man, and he raised, as far as history knows, he was English, because I like the English. Anyone here like the English? Are we English or are we British? We're happy to be both, aren't we? Just don't forget the English part. Because if you ask a Scotsman whether he's British, he'll say, no, I'm Scots. We need to have a little pride about England, you know. Not anti-Scotland, though. Love the Scots, don't we? And the Welsh. Well, I'm married to the Welsh. I've got to. Though we have this saying in Australia, and she claims, my darling wife, claims she's never heard this before. But in Australia, if you Welsh out of something, what does that mean? You back out. You chicken out. A Welsher is a person who, yeah. But that's Australian, you know. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Not a Welsher. A Welsher. And I like the Welsh. I like the way they play rugby and all that stuff. After all, I'm from New South Wales, you know, so... Apparently they looked at it and said, well, this is pretty. This looks like South Wales. Very, very creative, wasn't it? Let's call it New South Wales. Okay. So where was I? I'm back to a story about a guy. This is real. This is ministry. This is preaching. And it doesn't all have to be, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. I will say something from the Bible in a moment, I promise you. But this chap... So his particular gift, now Wigglesworth, that's what I'm telling you, an Englishman. 23 people that we know of at least, and there are people still alive that raised from the dead under his ministry. Now that's 23 more people than have been raised from the dead under my ministry, but then I've done other things. I've got kind of students, people in ministry and stuff from back in the early days in Australia, all around the world doing, people just give, God gifts people differently. But you're gifted. Remember that. Everyone say, I'm gifted.
I'm gifted.
I'm wonderfully gifted by God. Oh, don't forget that. You should say that every morning when you look in the mirror. I'm devastatingly good looking and I'm wonderfully gifted by God. That should bring a smile to your face. And God thinks you're awesomely and wonderfully, mate. So this particular chap, right, who's... He's having this discussion with Jesus, right? And Jesus is teaching him some things. Now, that guy also rose no people from the dead. So, you know, in other words, it's not a competition. It's not like we're trying to... It's entering into this world that we belong to and finding out our position, our calling, who we are. And so he's having a discussion with Jesus, and there's an angel... which is his angel, he finds out, because we've all got an angel. So, and he's standing there like this. And every time the guy looks at the angel kind of motions as if he's going to say something. And then the guy looks back at Jesus, and then Jesus keeps talking, and the angel stands back. And after a few minutes of discussion, he says to Jesus, that chap, he said, that is your angel. Okay, so he keeps looking like he wants to say something to me. And he said, yeah, he's got a message for you from heaven. And he says to Jesus, well, couldn't you tell me? I mean, you're Jesus, you're God, you surely you know. And he said, no, he's been given a message. See, so angels have their role. Do you know, it's just interesting, isn't it? How I'm just talking to you about that whole world and how it works and how... When we, you know, a central part of our church and our heart, obviously we love people, obviously we love God, we want to encourage you. You know, we encourage you pretty strong to worship. I'll always say to you, engage your heart, lift your voice. And if Lucille doesn't, I'll tell Lou, come on, give the people. Not because we're trying to you know, push you uncomfortably, but because the world of God is where that's what you're born of. And that's where the voice from heaven will come to guide you. And that's where the anointing to equip you to do what you need to do is. It's a different realm to the cerebral realm. And we have to be careful, and that's why we kind of encourage people, because it's very easy for us, especially in the West, especially in London, especially in a pretty well-educated country, pretty well-educated part of the world, we are in our heads a lot. And we could easily go through a service, be in our heads, think about, you know, oh, looks like Jordan's got a new iPhone, nice. And that was a good story about Val, wasn't it? That's good, yes, excellent. And we're singing that song, sung that before. Okay, he's the king above all kings. I don't like this song much, really. And wait for the next one, you know. And we can kind of stay in a cerebral thingo. And it's not that God doesn't like you. It's that you and for many Christians, virtually their whole life, they've barely touched the realm that they really should be at home in. Are you with me? So it may be an angel, it may be a handkerchief, it may be a nun snapping, it might be Jesus talking to you. It could be just this incredible sense of deep peace that you know that you know that you. Some people are just looking for peace, you see, and it is true that how you think is important, but you've got to get peace in your heart, and that comes from a connection with Jesus. There's an actual exchange that goes on. There is a real place called heaven. There's real stuff called the glory of God. And when we get past our kind of mental restricted lives, if you like, you know what I'm saying? And I think you know what I'm saying. And I think I know what I'm saying. And I'm doing my best. And that's why I say, close your eyes, lift your hands, and worship and get into the presence of God. Until you get a place where something sort of exchanges, you start to feel things that you didn't expect, and you think, whoa, this kind of feels good, and healing comes out of that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so our prayer meetings this week, I just want to encourage you to be there, and at least for one, but you know, I'm going to be at all three, and we're doing three different things. Just, if no other reason, then you just say, well, God, you know, what the pastor said on Sunday, I don't know if I really agree, but I'll give it a whirl. I'll give it a shot. I'll make the time. I'm only going to watch, you know, Sky News anyway. And I pretty much know what it's going to say because I've already seen it on my iPhone anyway in the news thing. And then I walked past the newspaper shop and there are all the big news. I already know what it is. Let me see. Let me hear somebody else say pretty much the same thing. And apparently we call news looking at tomorrow's newspapers and saying, what, the news? That's not news. That's just reading a newspaper. What are the tomorrow's newspapers going to say? Well, they're going to talk about what happened today, aren't they? I could have done that show in 15 seconds and got onto something more interesting. But anyway, so, you know, just to give yourself, you see, because what happens sometimes is we're so busy with stuff, bills to pay, you know, don't miss the credit card payment, you know, don't make sure that the kids, so-and-so's, you know, sick, this kid's off to, is he doing all right? Is at uni? Is that going to work? You know, my wife wants a new haircut, you know, can I afford that? Where are we going? Future, where are we going for holidays this year? Last year we did, it wasn't very good. And you can be so full of reasonable things that do need to be attended to that the kind of cut off and get into the world of God, if you will, it's like we start to creep a little bit and then the phone goes, you know, and you've got to, you've really, for your own health's sake, and for your own destiny's sake, you've got to find a place in your world, and we want to kind of facilitate that as much as we can in our church life, where you actually touch God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so to the message. I'm going to just pull a few points. I'm going to pick up out of this next week, and I'm going to talk about this area of spiritual warfare. But let me touch on a couple of things. I think God has got a fantastic year in store. I generally will spend some time in January, and I, like you, some of the reasons that I preach what I'm preaching and it sounds convincing is because I go through exactly the same thing and have the busyness of life that tries. And you really have to be determined to get into God's presence. You have to make a decision to do it. But I spent some time just in this last week and came back, I remember, and if I, you know, it's not always unbelievable, but generally I have a good time and it's usually the highlight of my day. I might go out for an hour and a quarter, and at some point in the day or sometimes in the night if I didn't get to it, and walk around or walk where there's no people because I want to be able to raise my voice and get into the presence of God and just let the Holy Spirit speak to me and just worship Him and sometimes repeat, go over some of the prophetic things that have been said or Bible promises or whatever. But in that process, you want to get like a word from God. I've got one of the words from God for my life and for our church, I believe, is change and breakthrough. I believe that was, but see, you I want to encourage you to get a word from God, or maybe a couple of words from God yourself. If I were to ask you, if I were to say, well, what has God spoken to you, deposited in your heart? What word have you got from heaven where you feel like, you know, I know that I know that's the word of God for my life? Because if we don't have that, then we will end up going into a... It's kind of, I describe it like, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. You know, like you're still washing them, but something just feels wrong. It's a bit... And a lot of people's Christian life is like that. We love God and we know the Bible, you know. There are certain things we're not going to do or are going to do or whatever. But actually, God can speak to you and He would like to speak to you. He's got a lot to say. And I want to encourage you that His thoughts about you are all extremely positive. You know, if you're writing anything down, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, very famous verse. I think I mentioned it last week. But it says, I know the thoughts. One version says, I know the thoughts that I think about you. One version, I know the, what's the other word that it says? The plans, so that the original Hebrew word has both those meanings. I know the plans I've got for you. I know the thoughts that I'm thinking toward you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. So God's planned a great future. And He's already planned it. Before you are even on the planet, He's planned it. And it's a great to give you a future and a hope. Not trouble, not calamity. You might go through some trouble. But you know, it's like somebody once said, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Because you'll come out the other side. And God has thoughts, the word's plural, He thinks about you. You're on His mind. You're not an accident. And I just want to refresh us. I want to encourage you in this week as we prepare for the year right now and this week. I want to encourage you to make time. It's part of the reason we're doing the praying and fasting thing as well. And by the way, let me just throw in very quickly with fasting. You don't have to fast food. You don't have to eat nothing. I would encourage you just to exhibit some self-control and set some limits. That's all I do. So if I'm fasting, I still will generally eat breakfast, but I'll have a smaller portion and I'll probably have no lunch. And then I'll try and have a smaller portion at dinner, but Caroline's a great cook, so it's difficult. But I'll do that. And then what I'll do is maybe something like no social media. Now, if I'm needing to let the church know something, fine. But just to shut down social media, I'm reading two different studies at the moment from two different people, one who took a week off social media and one who took a month off social media. And I haven't got through them yet. And the guy who took a month off social media is a younger man than me in his 30s. He's a minister and he loves social media. So I'm looking forward to finding out and I'll let you know what his kind of discovery was. But there's no question that that without controlling that thing, it can do more harm for your life than good. And you'll end up just in the thing all the time. So that can be a good idea just to say, okay, for 3 days, you know, like for me, work, email, I've got to do email, but Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, I'll just try and cut those out. and just for 3 days. People will live. People will live. They don't need to know that you had barbecue pork ribs Sunday afternoon with a photograph of you smiling with your greasy chops, you know. But that can be one thing. You don't have to do that. Or you could say, okay, I like a glass of wine with dinner. I'm going to have no wine, or I'm not going to snack anything. Just don't set unrealistic, rigorous things and try and impress God by starving yourself. Live with self-control. That's really the goal. And if you miss lunch, or maybe you miss dinner, or maybe you say, look, for dinner we'll just do something easy. We'll just have a salad. It's real easy. Bit of smoked salmon. For the vegans, no. For the non-vegans. I had a vegan meal the other day. No. I did. We ate something. No, vegetarian. I'd had a vegan salad. I'm pretty good. I could get into the vegetarian thing. Caroline, what Caroline does with vegetables, I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. Anyway, enough raving about my wife's cooking. But you know, you could make it simple so that instead of spending an hour preparing dinner, you prepare it in 15 minutes and you say, with that 45 minutes, I'm going to get into the presence of God. And that's just how it works. Or I'm going to come here, you know, I'm going to eat a little bit later and I'm going to come here and be part of the prayer meeting. So we're going to do these three things. The first night we're going to focus on you hearing from God. And that'll be the general direction we'll go in. We'll encourage you, and I'll talk probably for 5 minutes or something, but we'll encourage people for God to speak to them about their year. Because here's how healthy church life works. If you hear from God, and you've got like a word from God, then when the opposition comes and says, look, some of you feel like my finances are okay, it may well be that it's still a good thing to hear from God, because stuff comes against you sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we need to prepare. Well, maybe something's coming down the line we don't know. But when you've got a word from God, the thing comes against you, think, nah, I've already heard from God on this one. And it needs to be more, can I say this the right way? It needs to be more just than something's written in Scripture. Everything that's written in Scripture is from God, but there has to be a download of some kind, God quickening something to you. Because I've lived around this kind of the Bible a long time, and I know from experience, and some of you will know, that some of the people that will and I'm not, every word of here is from God, I believe that, but some people will just grab every promise and just say, well, this is mine and this is mine, and it is yours, legally speaking. But a lot of those people don't experience, really, if they're honest, everything that they were believing for, because it's a kind of an unbalanced believing, because there isn't that sense that God breathed on something. Because God doesn't want a relationship with you where you just read his book. He wants you to hear his heart. Because bits of this book were really written specifically with you in mind. Bits of them, when you read them, you'll go like, oh my God, I can't believe that. And then you'll go through other bits and you'll think, yeah, good, fine, it's all good. But there has to be this opportunity for the Holy Spirit, who wrote this anyway, to make it living in your heart. See, so a guy like Robert Shula, who really in his own way has changed a lot of people's lives, a lot of the world in his way he's thought. But he's only really taken a few bits. It's not like he's preaching everything that's in here, because nobody can really do all that. So you've got to find your bit. And to do that, you have to get something from God. I'm gonna close. I'm gonna give you one final. Let me look. Let's look at Psalm 23. How am I doing? Because we started a bit late, didn't we? Can anyone give me an extra minute? 1 minute. Yeah. How many can give? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give me a couple of minutes. Here we go. Have a quick look, because you'll like this. Psalm 23. You all know this. I want to show you something that maybe you didn't see was in here. I do funerals quite often for people. And stay with me on this, because these two little quick points I'm going to make are really important. They're going to help you. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. Beautiful. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes or restores my soul. Oh, what a beautiful passage. And really, how, if we're honest, how many times Christians read it and think, well, that'd be nice if that were me. But let me show you something here. He guides me along the right paths to his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil, because you're with me. See that? You're with me. Presence, you're with me. I know you're with me. It's not just quoting about, I know you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So you've got a table. I'm just going to light on that verse for about 1 minute. You've got a table prepared by God. So if you're vegan, it's vegan. Whatever it is, it's good. If God serves it up, it's good. Are you with me? And there it is prepared. And the table's laid and the tablecloth is nice. Whatever your thing is, that's how it'll be. And God's got it all there. And you're in the presence of your enemies. Now what happens a lot of times is that we're conscious of that enemy. There's lack trying to hold me back. There's fear trying to frustrate my life. I'm afraid of this. Keeps coming back. Thoughts about things that go wrong. These enemies that you have around your life. And you've got a table set, but do you know what a lot of times happens? We don't even enjoy the meal that's set because we're not even thinking about that. We're thinking about the enemies. That actually God set a table. And God's with you. And if you just focused on the nice meal and ate the nice meal, but here's the thing. See, the enemies are still there. But your joy, your strength, your victory isn't going to be that all enemies are gone. It's going to be that you've learnt how to enjoy a meal even though they're still there. Are you with me? Make sense? I've got one more point, but I'm going to make it next week because I'm just out of time and I feel like that'll be enough. Does that help you though? Come on, let's close our eyes. And what we're going to do, can you put on, Ryan, for me this particular? We're just going to do an ethereal track, and I spoke to some of the team, and so there's no obligation here, but one of the things that I think God has really given our church, and we prayed for people before, is just that ministry, laying hands on people and people's lives changing. And so as this piece comes, we're going to dismiss the service in about 1 minute. We're going to pray this week. We'd love you to be here. Monday night we'll be focusing on you hearing from heaven. Tuesday night we'll be focusing on seeing people saved. We've got to see people saved, and we'll just hit that hard and reaching stains. Wednesday night, we'll be declaring. I'll talk to you about declaring the promise of God. It'll come out of a verse here that I didn't get to today. And we're going to praise, and we're going to just have a great, we might even party a little on Wednesday. So there are all those 3 nights. They're going to be great. And then next Sunday, we're here. We're going to have communion. The week after that, Carrie's got an awesome message in her heart. We're excited for a great year. But next week I'm gonna talk about what spiritual war is and how you actually the armor of God and all that stuff and how you actually wear that and how those battles are won. That's going to be good fun. Thank you.